Let's talk, first of all, about the retreat the council had. Some things came out of that. I'd like, as one member of council, to tell me what you thought were probably the most important things that came out of there.
Out of the retreat?
Yeah.
The workshop? Well, I think it was very productive. We had a day to sit and talk, and the staff made some very good presentations. A lot of discussion on the development of economic development and the plan and the way they intend to go forward with that, I thought was very useful.
Let's stop there for just a second, okay. Because I think basically what the presentation, if I understood it correctly, was that RVP does a job, but College Station needs to be a little more pointed in being able to have development in College Station. Is that how you saw it?
Definitely.
And what's your feeling as far as that? Does that mean the College Station needs to be pulling away from RVP?
I didn't get that impression. I thought they did a good job of saying that there is a specific niche that RVP fills for the whole Brazos Valley, and that they should continue to do that. And it's one that we would not be wanting to move into filling. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't focus directly on what is good for College Station and look more at our development as far as what kind of businesses we want to attract here or industries, what kind of facilities we want to prepare. Areas for that growth. I thought that was the focus of it.
Just to serve as to sound a cautionary note, I guess, I've watched this over the years kind of ping pong back and forth. The city's working together, the city's not working together. I want to go this direction, the other wants to go the other direction. Both cities are showing growth now, and I don't know that that's necessarily all under the guidance or umbrella of the RVP, but I'm concerned if we're starting to, the cities are starting to separate. And I think it's important that we stay united at this point because both cities, again, are growing, but growing in different ways.
I totally agree. I think that one of the good things that came out of the Economic Outlook Conference was discussion of growth. And I know at that point, Todd McDaniel, the CEO of RVP, said that, you know, growth does not always mean prosperity. Sometimes growth brings problems and issues, but that growth should actually improve the quality of the community as well as the economy. They should both be a focus. And Chad Wooten, the vice president of A&M, made the comment that businesses are looking at the community climate that we have, which is an area that I like to refer to as our cultural infrastructure. And do we have a good community to raise your family in? Are there community facilities and parks for the children to play in? Is the transportation system working? Those are all things we need, and we can't do that without cooperation with the county and with Brian.
Sure.
We can certainly do a lot, but I like Joy Dunn's comment that they were focusing on renovating the older areas at the same time they were developing new areas. I thought Kelly Templin referred to all of the renovation and development going on along University. I mean, it's obvious that we have many challenges in growth, and I think they're focused on that as well as we are. And there is always that balancing act that has to take place between free enterprise and property rights, between individual rights and community concerns. And I think that's what we have to all focus on in this process.
Well, let's leave that and let's go to two votes the council made in the last meeting. One had to do with Fitch Parkway and Victoria Avenue, 20 acres there for multifamily dwellings, and that was voted down. And then over on Graham Road, townhouses and duplexes apartments, and that was voted down. Now, I understand neighborhood integrity, but the same time, you do need to have more rooftops in College Station. How did you vote on those two? And kind of give us background on why you voted the way you did.
I voted to turn down both of those requests. They were a little different requests. The one at Fitch and Victoria was really a request to rezone a PDD. So it wasn't a request to not have any rooftops there. It was a request to increase the density.
Right.
And to change the sort of the outlay from businesses that were projected in that part. Frankly, I think they need a lot more restaurants out in the south side of the city.
Right.
And I believe if you build them, they are going to come. So I don't see that as a big problem. But at any rate, that was the character of that one. And it certainly was a problem for that neighborhood, they felt. And I think that out of both of these, the citizens spoke out clearly and constructively about the impact of this growth on their communities. And in my mind, The best economic development plan we can have is to provide safe and tranquil and secure neighborhoods where people can raise families and actually feel some degree of safety, not just in their person, but in their investment, in their property as well. And for me, that is the very baseline of any good development in this community.
Sure. Blanche Brigg joining us this morning. I just wanted to defer to kind of get off of what we talked about because those two votes took place. But I want to go back now to the discussion about the police station, because I think you're kind of in a different direction than the majority of the council in that you feel like there needs to be nice parkland in an area, and it shouldn't be used for this police station. So kind of give me your thoughts, your position when it comes to the police station and what we're going to do to modernize there.
Well, I am. I in the workshop, I did bring out my views on that and pushed back a little bit. I want it made very clear that I and every member of the city council is in favor of a new police station. And we think it should be an adequate station for the needs now and one that addresses the needs of the growth we're looking toward. Whether in 20 years we will still want one police station and not spread into needing more, another one maybe to the south and the west, I think that hasn't been explored as much as it could be. But I do believe that the concern I have is that that is land attached to Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the Central Park is our sort of jewel of that municipal corridor as far as our city character goes. And actually, I believe that there should be a police station. I mean, there has to be one, and we should make it as reasonable as we can in locating it. But I had asked the city back in the summer to give us an option on other land that was available. And we never really got any option other than that one piece of land. And that has been a concern to me because I believe that once it's put there, we will never have that as a park.
True.
And there are other options. We're still balancing out the city hall. I don't know where it will come down. I'm not advocating for it to be there. I'm just saying that's one concern. Community center, conference center, whatever they call it, or both. Those are all options that need to be in play. But to me, the very idea, basic idea, is I don't think putting a jail and a secured police parking lot next to Central Park, where we know we need more availability for our citizens, because this growth is bringing people who need more parks.
Sure.
And I see children over there all the time trying to have soccer practice, trying to have flag football. Last night I picked up my granddaughter and it was dark. It wasn't at that park. It was out at Pebble Creek where mm-hmm. there are no lights. But they are practicing into the dark because there are not enough fields to sure. do it on in the time they have.
Let's touch then for just a minute, because you mentioned City Hall. The mayor was in this week and we were discussing that just as one member of council. Utilization of the land that you have there on Texas Avenue. I know some members of council think let's sell that because it's an expensive piece of land. So as one member of council, where do you think we need to have that City Hall?
Well, as one member of council, I've always said I would like to listen to the offers that come. If we get an offer that is very attractive to work in there and put the City Hall there, I'm in favor of doing that. If we get an offer that's very attractive for some other facility that would be an advantage to our city, we do at least have other options to put City Hall. I think I personally would favor the option on Krennic Tap and Texas Avenue where those beautiful trees are, because it would look like we had been there a little while.
Councilman John Nichols brought up the question of texting again, had that revisited, asked staff to look into that. You know, I understand the safety issue involved. Enforcement, I think, is a problem, but it's something that several cities are struggling with, and College Station is no different when it comes to that. So as one member of council, where do you think we are in the texting question, and what do you anticipate staff will have to say for you?
Well, I think that we ought to be looking at texting. Yes, it's just another issue that many people will say, well, you can't enforce it. But as has been pointed out, they don't always enforce seat belts correctly or can't. And the same with red lights and all of those things. But the laws that we pass, that we do pass, reflect what we believe should be the case and what we're going to lend our support for. And I believe that we should bring to people's attention that texting is a deadly thing to do.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm concerned about people driving through town.
I'm talking about texting in the car.
Yeah, yeah, oh, right, exactly. I hope folks should clarify that. Okay, they know that's what
I don't want to get a lot of mail telling me I'm a dinosaur and don't support texting.
No, we saw you
mostly
the night.
Mostly from my own family, I would
Yeah, you were a texting fiend during the last city council meeting. We saw you head down.
Oh,
we knew
please,
you were doing that. I know that House Bill 1378 is something that that is important to you, and I want to give you an opportunity first to remind our listeners about 1378 and how you feel about that.
Right. 1378 is a bill that was passed in the legislature last session, and it was done to protect the right or the citizen input. When they voted down a bond issue, the idea was that they could not, the city could not then go and build that same facility from other funds because the citizens had spoken against it.
Right.
So it was passed with all good intentions. And the problem is it's kind of had these unintended consequences because immediately the city here, the city and many other cities throughout Texas began to look at not funding through general obligation bonds.
Yeah, it killed your bond issue.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we canceled the bond election, and I had concerns about that at the time, but I've really come to have more and more concerns about that, and I will be asking the council to look at establishing a citizen advisory committee as long as that bill is in effect as it is, because I think the police station is a good example. Now that will be approved, could be approved by the vote of four people on the council and the staff, period. And as far as location.
Okay.
Now, as far as building it, no, the priority came from the citizens advisory committee. But I believe we need to keep as broad a contact as we can with our citizens.
But don't we always have an advisory committee of citizens when we're looking at some sort of a capital improvement? Don't you have a committee that puts these things together and scores them?
We do when we're looking at it.
So how is this different?
Well, what this is showing is that the Capital Improvements Committee came up with the priority of doing the police station, but they were not asked to say where.
Okay.
And we need consideration on other issues as we go along as to where these things will take place and the whole face of the city. And we will not be holding that very often, as I understand it. There may not be another capital improvements if we're not going to be voting on general obligation bonds.
I felt like between staff and council, there's probably a lot of due diligence there already.
There certainly has been. Yeah. There has been. And the committee did a marvelous job, and the staff did, of working with that committee. But there's a piece missing now that doesn't follow through.
If 1378 were repealed, you think that everything would be okay then? We're back in place and business as normal?
It will never be perfect. I liked Congressman Flores' statement the other night. You don't get the choice to vote for perfect.
Right.
You vote for yes or no, or against. There's not a perfect way, and they had all good intentions in doing it, but I think we need to look at the ramifications and make adjustments that we see we need to reflect the character of our community. Maybe other cities don't have that view.
Blanche Briggs joining us this morning. Anything else on your radar screen this morning that we haven't talked about?
Well, we talked about growth, and I would like to follow up and say that the council has voted to fund the studies required to consider adopting impact fees as one way to assist paying for the expenses that this growth brings. And we will be discussing that as that comes forward. They're doing now, having the studies done, and when those come back later in this year, we will be looking at that, and it will be done in a full open process. The committee, the Planning and Zoning Committee, will be the advisory committee on that. There's still discussion on that makeup, but the idea is that it should be open to the public hearings, lots of input. But the basic thing is that in the law that was created to have impact fees, it states that you can only recover 50% of the cost.
Oh, my.
So 50% of the cost of this growth will continue to be borne by the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And this is simply a way to assist. And the estimate is that if the city had adopted impact fees when they considered it before in 2011, that we would have had about $14 million. I'm talking about transportation and wastewater.
Okay.
About $7 million on each side. We would have had about $14 million to deal with some of this growth by this point in time.
Right.
And that means that would also give us more money to deal with upkeep and maintenance of the streets we already have and the water and wastewater facilities.
Blanche Bragg joining us, as I often now quote John Crompton, former city councilman, saying we're the best city we can be at this tax rate. So I think everybody generally considers you a fairly steady hand on the rudder. What's the idea of a tax rate do to you? If I say to you that we need to start looking at a tax rate increase in College Station, what's your thought?
Well, I think we're always going to be looking at that. We do have a very reasonable tax rate. We're very proud of that. We have tried to maintain that, and also the ROI. We've tried to work with that at a reasonable rate. I think we'll just have to look at it and see. Part of it will be determined by what we can do with impact fees to mitigate the cost of growth that we're facing. But there is very likely going to be the need to seriously consider that in the coming years.
Blanche Brett from the College Station City Council with us this morning. Thanks for the time.